Thank you, sir. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for adjusting your schedules to be here on such short notice. As you understand, the topical matter this morning is critically important, and that is why we had to adjust our schedules and to get here this morning. The first order of business that we need to do is to determine that we have a quorum of five statutory members. Sorrell, I believe we do have that, correct?
Yes, they are Dr. Jackson. There's our undergraduate student member. We have yourself, Mr. Clancy, and then we have, bear with me, Ms. Caldwell, who is on the web as well. We have Mike Stein, who's on the web as well. So we have six members.
Rob Chantrin as well.
Rob, you're aboard?
Yes, he came in.
Oh, okay. And you have us on the web as well.
Right.
I'm looking at you.
Okay,
right.
Good. So we have seven members.
Right.
We do have a quorum.
You need to be on the web to be considered attending the meeting. So we appreciate if you are on a conference call, on the conference call, but you don't count, unfortunately, John. But I
I'm sorry, but I'm in a hotel room, so I won't be able to do the web.
Okay.
This is Pierre. I have joined the web.
Oh, you
okay.
Are on that. Okay.
Fantastic.
I was able to get it.
What I'd like to do at this point is, for those of you that are on the web, I think I'd like us to go around the table quickly and just tell you who is sitting at the table this morning, just so that you know who is here. Obviously, Michael Castellano, I'm chair of the council, and we'll go this way. Robert.
Robert Jones, president of the University of Delphi.
Jim Clancy, member of the council.
Sorrell Chesson, serving temporarily as liaison officer.
Clara Botvinnik, university council student member.
Vince Stelio, President's Chief of Staff.
Jim Jackson.
Kathy Herman, Vice President of Communications and Marketing.
Jim Murphy from the Alumni Air Association.
Gary Roth, Graduate Student Representative.
Susan Phillips, Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs.
John Riley from the Office of General Counsel.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you've seen the materials that we put out on Saturday, July 13th. The SUNY Board of Trustees called a meeting that was held yesterday to deal with one agenda item, that being a roadmap to a new structure for CNSE. They voted in favor of that recommendation, which causes us to come together this morning and to act on a resolution. Before we do that, we do need a motion to waive the 7-day notice requirement pursuant to Section 356 of the Education Law. Would somebody make a motion to waive that? Jim?
So moved.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there any opposition to that? Seeing none, that motion is approved. Our first order of business this morning will be a brief discussion by President Jones.
And it will be brief. Good morning. I appreciate all of you being here this morning. I think you know the context, so while we're here, so I won't spend much time rehashing all that. Let me just start by saying that yesterday's decision was a very pivotal juncture in the history of this university in some ways, but in other ways I think it was a demarcation point or a stick in the ground, if you will, that signals and formalize the direction that this university and the College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering in many ways has been on for almost a decade now. As that entity evolved and it was systematically granted more autonomy and more authority, from my perspective, is when the path toward what the trustees passed yesterday was put in place, probably starting about 2004. I think it's very, very fair to say, as I've said in this room and other venues many times before, one has to be very, very proud and be very appreciative of the very innovative strategy that evolved out of the College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering in terms of its business model of engaging with and driving economic vitality in ways that I think no other so-called collegiate unit has done probably in the history of higher education. So you can't take that away from it. It's been very innovative. It's been very effective. It has driven over 13,000 jobs and billions of dollars that have been brought into this community. So in many ways, as this entity went about doing its work, it had to do it in a very innovative way. It had to have the flexibility to operate, if you will, kind of outside of the norm, as was said several times yesterday. And I think that's absolutely right. It was the only way that that could happen. So now we're at a juncture where the notion is, what is the best path forward for the College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering? The Board of Trustees agreed with the task force recommendation that it separates from UAlbany and becomes a independent structure. Even though, and if you probably see some of the things that's been writing, even though it's independent, there is also will be an ongoing sense of interdependency, primarily because of the fact that we are geographically connected. We're wedded together at the hip in many ways, not just geographically, but there's a lot of points of connection between the College of Nanoscale Science and the rest of university at Albany. And we envision a lot of those connections will be continuing in the future. We have to think through what some of those connections might be or will be. But the thing I want to clarify that until such time that the trustees approve this plan that will be developed over the next academic year, the College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering is still part of the University at Albany. So I want to be very, very clear about that. Even though what you might hear or might read or how people talk about it, as far as accreditation is concerned, and as far as what we will do to support students, faculty, staff, and students, it will remain the same until there's a different memorandum of understanding signed and executed between us. So I want to make that point clear. So I do think that it's important also to emphasize that this is a very, very important juncture, not only in the history of the College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering, but it's an important juncture for the University at Albany. As one of the reporters from the Times Union, I think was Jim Otato, is that his name?
Otato
raised the fundamental question, well, we understand what's in this for Nano, its independence, its ability to operate as a degree granting structure, but what's in it for the University of Albany? And so one of the things we've been trying to be very clear about is we are very supportive, because I do think that there are strategic opportunities based on the conversation that I've been having with Dr. Kelly Arrows, as well as conversations with Tim Colleen. We've probably met four times over the last 4 to 6 weeks about the future of these two entities and how we need to work seamlessly together to do things that we have not, for whatever reasons, been able to do before. I think that there's a growing sense of mutuality, a growing sense of need to collaborate, and expectation that we collaborate and not necessarily duplicate efforts in ways that are not cost-effective or that will be effective to the education of our students and for the experience of our faculty and staff as educators and as faculty members. And so we are going to be focusing on what the University at Albany needs in terms of financial resources to allow it to move to the next level of innovation. And I tried to be as clear as I could in the letter that we sent to the chairman of the board and also to Nancy Lazenfer yesterday about needing financial resources to allow the university to bring about the next level of innovation, and also needing their support to remove barriers that have historically prevented this university from offering a suite of academic programs comparable to other university centers in the state of New York, but as well as other Research One universities around this country. There's been a historic understanding, if spoken or unspoken, that has placed University at Albany, I think, in a box. It's a very clear perception that University Albany can be all of this, but you can't be this. And so my goal, our goal collectively, and I seek your support for advocating for the additional resources that we're going to need to take this university to the next level. Because to lose an entity like the College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering and just declare that it's done and go quietly into the night, I think is not the best path forward for this university. While the loss of Nanoscale Science and Engineering within itself is not going to do, it'll do some short-term harm reputationally to the university, but it's not going to turn this whole university into mediocrity. But if we fail to act strategically and aggressively about advocating and asking for the support that we need to invest in the next cutting-edge technologies and innovations, that we are going to need to expand the research portfolio for this university. That's going to allow us to attract a different profile of students than we're currently attracting and allow us to still to remain and even advance our stature as a Research One university. Without that, folks, I can tell you we will slip, from my perspective, into mediocrity. You can't transfer a unit like this and expect us to say, thank you, we'll just carry on as usual. I didn't come here to carry on as usual. You're not sitting around this table investing your time to carry on as usual. I am actually very, very excited about the future direction because I've said to you in this room, this thing is getting kind of long, isn't it? I was going to be brief, but I just realized I've been going on for a while. Let me just make a couple.
I think it's important.
Let me just make a couple more points. As I've said, the model that we've been operating under since about 2004, particularly 2008, was basically dysfunctional. It didn't work. It's never worked. And so why do we want to keep fooling ourselves? So I applaud the trustees' action to clarify the roles and responsibilities of these two educational research entities. And now that that clarification has been put on the table in public display, it has precipitated an opportunity for Elaine Carrie Overson and I to have a candid conversation about what each of us need and what we want for our institutions and about how we will be doing and aggressively going after that independently, but more importantly, our path and the way forward collectively. I do believe that there is strategic opportunities for us to work and our faculties across College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering to work effectively with the faculty here at UAlbany to create research synergies in some of the emerging technological areas that will help both entities advance their research portfolios, the experience, educational experience of our students, and the research agenda of our faculty, and therefore bring in more sponsored dollars and raise the reputation of this university, not decline it. I don't see the reputation of university at Albany all of a sudden being diminished because of the loss of Nanoscale, only if we allow it to happen. So it's on us to make sure that we forge a different path for this university. I've laid out very clearly in the letter to the Board of Trustees what I think we need, and that's a short list. I could have gone on for a couple more pages, but I tried to focus on those things I thought was most critically important, and that is a commitment for recurring and some non-recurring dollars to help us finance the future of this great university, and their assistance in helping us to remove from some of the institutional barriers that have framed this university in a way that's not sustainable, given the growing need for students with technology degrees not only across this state but across this nation. I just think it would be really unfortunate if we don't have the courage and the foresight to really think about a different path for this university that can allow it to continue to advance as a major research entity. So with that bit of rambling around, I'd just like to again thank you for taking time. I thank you for your support, your understanding. I know that some of this is kind of unfolding in a way that's not congruent with how we're supposed to have these conversations, but you know, as you know, the horse left the barn on this a long time ago, and we're just doing our best to try to lasso it and get some control back over it and have a really a true win-win situation here. I'm very sincere to you when I say to you that I am excited about what can come out of this, and it's up to us to make it true, to make it happen. So thank you very much for indulging me in my brief remarks.
At this point, I'd like to get the resolution on the table, and then we will open it up for discussion. So a resolution was sent to you this morning. That resolution was a combination of excerpts from the resolution that was acted on by the SUNY Board of Trustees and elements of Robert's letter to the Chancellor and the Chairman of the Board of Trustees. I wanted to make sure that those elements were in this resolution and that they were important parts of our action. So if we could get that resolution on the table with a motion and a second, and then we will open it up for discussion.
Motion.
Is there a second? Second. Okay. Let's open it up for discussion, and I'll make a couple of very, very brief comments, even significantly more brief than the president's. I have seen this before and during. I was actually part of, pardon the expression, but the sausage making process that went on as part of the working group that presented this document to the SUNY Board of Trustees. I see a very, very, very bright future for the University at Albany. I see that we have had a distraction that we have been dealing with for quite some time. We've also had to deal with the shadow of the Capitol and then the shadow of the College of Nanoscale Science for a very long time. So we have gotten very little, if you will. So when you go to other parts of the state, when you go and you deal with the Regional Economic Council, anytime that anything is said about the Capital Region, very little funding comes our way because they feel all of the funding has gone to the corner of Fuller Road and Washington Avenue on the west end and not on the east end, and nothing comes our way. I think this gives us the opportunity, both politically and educationally, to now move us to the next level, to take us where we need to go.
Excuse me, Michael, could you speak up?
Sure. Where am I speaking into?
It's right
here. This one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, I think we have... I think we have an incredible opportunity here to get out in front of this, but I think that that opportunity could be very short-lived. The spotlight is going to be on us, and very specifically, the spotlight is going to be on Robert. How do we react to this publicly? How does this council react to this? How does the University at Albany Foundation react to this? What do we do? Do we put our heads down and go into the corner, or do we embrace this change, embrace the attention that we're now going to be given? We saw, you may have seen the comments by the chairman of the board of the SUNY Board of Trustees this morning, and his first comments were not about the School of Nanoscale Science, but it was about the University at Albany and his concern for us. That's what we want. We want them to think about us and what do we do and where do we take this university. And I think we seize that opportunity in a very, very, very positive manner. If we go negative or if we even go neutral, we're going to lose this opportunity. And I think this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity that we need to seize with vigor, each and every one of us. So that's my impression from both the inside and the outside of this. I think this is something that we can certainly now remove the distraction, but I think in the discussions that Dr. Caliaros and Dr. Jones have had, I think the opportunity for collaboration between the two to take that to the next level with students that aren't here yet, with opportunities that aren't here yet, with business partners, public-private partnerships that aren't here yet, those things are, and the benefit that that can have to the community and on economic development, those benefits are the sky is the limit. So I think that compared to where we were yesterday, compared to where we can be tomorrow if we act on it, I think that the sky is the limit.
Thanks, Michael, and thank you, President Jones. So, Michael, I couldn't agree more, and I'm listening to what you're saying there, and I'm assuming there is a, you know, I'm reading the newspaper, and I obviously in a business where I don't believe everything I read, but it's certainly there's a flavor for where this is going, and I think you're absolutely right. This becomes a nano issue, and we kind of get lost in the mud a little bit.
Right.
What is there a plan after today? Again, this is a little bit more form over substance, too, more, almost a marketing plan of the regardless of the turnout or the outcome of this meeting, let me hypothetically say this is supported unanimously and passed. Are we going to be doing something press-wise? Are we going to be out there? Will the chancellor be? The actions of this board are not part of the discussion right now, and I'm not saying that the action of the board need to be, but the support for the university should be. Is there a thought to that? Next steps?
Well, let me just say briefly, from my perspective, we've already started to not only strategize, but to make some very definitive movement toward moving the agenda forward in terms of where, what we need and how we need to go about acquiring some form of recurring support to allow us to invest in new academic programs, and also, secondly, to move some of those barriers. So, you know, we have had one-on-one conversation with both the chairman of the Board of Trustees and with the chancellor and members of her staff, specifically about the level of investments that the University of Albany has made to create Nano over time, and what we think at a minimum we will need in order to have basically what, in many ways, is just seed money. And I'm sure Provost Phillips will tell me that the number we've been throwing out there is insufficient, and she's probably right. But I also have been around this work long enough to know that you don't want to ask for more than what you know you're going to get, because people probably will just blow you off anyway and not really be interested. We're going to ask for, hopefully, once we get a better feel of what the cost associated is, a sufficient amount of money that allow us to seed new academic programs in some of these emerging areas, some of these areas where heretofore the University of Albany have been really either explicitly or implicitly denied the opportunity to move in those areas. Let me just give you an example. I was very surprised to learn that there is a clause or statute or whatever you want to call it that says we must seek a master plan amendment. There's a clause that basically says there are certain programs that this university cannot offer. And that may have had some rhyme or some reason 20, 30 years ago, but the world has changed significantly since then. And the notion that you will be sitting here with all this infrastructure, all this intellectual capacity, and every other university center that's a part of the SUNY system offer engineering degrees, and there's a statute that basically says we cannot do that without first seeking a master plan amendment. And I think my understanding is that others have attempted master plan amendments in the past, and apparently they didn't get very far. But that's one of the things I've asked the Board of Trustees that I'm going to need their support on. I'm not interested in running out offering a full suite of engineering programs unless there is demonstrated evidence to show that there is a need in those areas and that it will meet some of the workforce needs. But what we're hearing is, notwithstanding all the engineering schools we have in the state that are, even the ones that are not part of SUNY, that the employers feel that they're not getting all the students that they need. So there's a demand there. And so the notion of offering niche engineering programs is one of the things we'll be working. We've already started to work toward. I think that there are certain programs in the allied health field, like Bachelor of Science in Health Sciences, that can lead to a student to have the option of either going to medical school or to some of the other professional programs in allied health. Is one of the programs that started at Minnesota that just graduated that first class. Started it 4 years, 5 years ago. They just graduated that first class of 50-something students, and it continues to grow each and every year. So we're thinking about the niche opportunities, some of the cutting-edge programs that we have not offered that we need to get into. We, Provost said, and the dean, I thought I saw, where Peter? I thought I saw him walking. He must have been in the wrong meeting. I guess so. We just got approval, at least from SUNY Central, to go to the next steps of offering a bachelor's degree in computer Computer science and network, what is it?
Computer and network engineering.
Yeah, computer and network engineering. Okay, first of its kind in the history of this university. When I asked the fundamental question of why we hadn't offered or proposed such programs, it was because people were aware of the notion that we can offer things with engineering in the title. And so that's the kind of thing I'm getting at, folks. We just got to get them beyond that. And if we can't get the powers to be to understand that the tides have shifted, and that we have to be able, if we're going to be a research university, to start to offer those kinds of programs that are more congruent with what a research university would offer, then I think it's going to be difficult for us to move the dime. It's going to be difficult for us to continue to pursue excellence. And I think you can say the same thing about some professional degree programs, too, that we don't offer. We don't offer very many programs that would fit into the professional realm. And so, Jim, that's one of the things we're doing. We're thinking about not only are we thinking about opportunities, you know, if we don't actively communicate about what this opportunity, what it's going to mean for the future of the university, the story will be written, and as you were saying, and it'll be written in a very negative way.
Right.
You know, Jones shows up and automatically loses.
Yeah, no, and I think that's where my question was. Exactly. What's going to happen at 12 o'clock today?
Right.
I appreciate that, and you have my support moving forward and what the crystal ball looks like moving forward. But
yeah.
I'm literally talking about 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
What is the plan for this board and this university?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can answer to that hour, but what I'm saying is that we're already thinking and strategizing and have had critical conversations about how do you start this conversation with the state education department? How do you start this conversation with the regents? What's the best way to tee that up? How do you tee it up in a way? First of all, how do you get the background information? You know, nobody's going to buy into this new direction just because Jones says it's a good idea or you as university council members thinks it's a good idea. We've got to use data-driven strategies. We've got to generate the background information, the outside consultants to help us frame. If we're going to move into this space, then what should it look like? What type of programs make the most sense? What is the compelling? What is the demographics? What does the workforce data say about the needs for engineers in the state, in the region, and in the country? And is there really room? Because if the data says there's no room for additional programs and that we can't make this work not only financially but educationally, then we won't be doing it. You see what I'm saying? We have to do what makes the most sense. And I am thoroughly convinced that restraining this university from growing in areas that everyone else across the nation is telling us that we have an undersupply of folks in engineering and some of the health sciences disciplines, to me, is a missed opportunity. And so we will start the process of communicating our message, working with meeting with a couple of SUNY folks this afternoon. I'm meeting with the financial person, and I'm meeting with the lawyer, I'm meeting with the chancellor on Monday. And then we're trying to get
you have a lot of work ahead.
So we've got to, we've already started to line these meetings up. Kathy and I talked this morning about potentially getting me in front of some of the national educational media to have a conversation, because I can tell you, unless we define the story, it will be defined in the chronicle of higher education of what a crazy idea these folks in New York came up with. They essentially, as somebody says, like taking the Wharton School away from, what is that, Penn? From Penn. Well, you have to be careful when you make those kind of blanket statements.
Are we, to your point though, are we going to have a prepared statement that we're going to issue today? And I guess I would suggest that we do.
Yeah. Well, we prepared a statement yesterday. There was a statement and the letter to the editor. The opinion piece is in the Times Union this morning.
But I think they're talking about the University Council.
I think it just adds to the support. Again, I'm jumping here. I'm jumping ahead of the resolution.
No.
But I'm assuming that this is going to pass and with full, wholehearted support of this council, and that I think that's an important part of the story. to get us out there and get University of Albany as becoming the lead of the story and not Nano being the lead of the story. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah. You know,
just seizing on the moment.
This is Mike Stein here speaking. I just wanted to echo what Jim has said. I think you stated it real well, that we should, and the president has as well, we should be embracing this opportunity. And I, for one, encourage this, or I felt this, that this is the direction we needed to go from the moment I stepped on this council. Because I think while Nano is a wonderful program, it really, in many ways, is a distraction for the larger enterprise that we're seeking to not only to advance. So, to some extent, I think that our statement should reflect that in a positive way. Obviously, that's perhaps a little bit more negatively stated, but I really think that the direction you're talking in is exactly the direction we need to go in, and that's what we should be communicating very forcefully.
This is Rob Belchand, and I agree with everything everyone said. My only statement is, you know, I'm not going to be prescriptive to the president and what we're saying, but everyone working in government for as long as we all have collectively, we all know there's the social amnesia sets in, and I think people forget things. So whatever we do, I think it's got to be big, bold, and we got to move quickly, because that whole, let's call it empathy, that we'll get as a university, in another month or two when the session starts, everyone's going to forget about stuff. So I think if we're owed something, then we really need to move quick and try to push and get ourselves at the table. But other than that, I think the only way to go is forward, and I think that's what we're doing. So it's a great opportunity.
This is Pierre. Perhaps my comments reflect more of the process and suggestions and recommendations which may not be germane to the resolution. So I would ask to, after we dispose of the resolution, I have some comments to make.
Okay. Why don't we take any more questions on the resolution and then we will move the resolution. Is there any more comments or questions on the resolution itself?
This is going to sound very... This is Pat. I don't have a copy of the resolution. Was it emailed around?
Yes, this morning.
It's in the email package that we sent out earlier.
About 8:30, Pat, I believe.
Well, I have the email from this morning, but I didn't see it there. There are no attachments to mine.
Pat, there were two emails. It would be the earlier one around 8 to 8:30.
Looking.
We can have it resent to you right now if that would be helpful.
Just found it. Okay, got it.
It's only 16 pages, Pat.
we'll give you 30 seconds to read it.
While Pat's taking a quick look at that, I'll make a statement that I was going to make afterwards. The hard work really comes now, beyond the PR aspect, which I think is absolutely critical. But the hard work comes with the whole negotiation process about the relationship between the two schools and how that's going to work, between the myriad of details that has to be worked out, because there is clearly not a clean split where you are going to do one thing and we are going to do another. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the thought process is, whether they're going to put another working group together. That's what was hinted in one of the stories that I read.
Yeah.
Or whether it is going to be the same working group. I'm not really sure how that's going to be done, but I can only expect that that's going to be a bit of an arduous process to go through all of the elements that need to be thought through to get to that point.
I couldn't agree with you more, because this working group that the trustees, I assume, will be appointing will be this large overarching group that has to wrestle to the ground the whole issue of how does a entity with 250-some students, 38 faculty members, doesn't have the capacity to teach liberal education, doesn't have rec sports facilities. The list gets very, very long. How do you evolve that? And just notice the language that's being used to describe this. It says a degree-granting structure. And those words were chosen intentionally because you just can't automatically declare that that 1.2 million square feet of clean room space all of a sudden is a university. Just doesn't work that way, okay? And there's nobody in this state that has the power to make that happen. So there has to be some thought given to how do you transition Nano to have the ability and the capacity to offer degrees that can be accredited by middle states or whatever accrediting agencies, APED, if applicable, et cetera. And so that's going to be very, very, so they're going to be dealing with the overarching issue of how do you make this transformation of this formal collegiate unit into some kind of structure or entity where it can start to grant degrees, do research, act independently. But at the same time, Elaine and I mutually agree and have decided that a lot of the information that this group is going to need in order for its decision making is best vetted and discussed and agreed upon by a working group that he and I would appoint. And this is something we agreed to probably about a month ago, where we would have people from our finance, business administrative offices, student support, academic affairs, working as probably two subcommittees, one maybe working on the financial aspects, the other one working on the academic and academic support, and then meeting as a work group to kind of map out all the different elements that need to be mapped out so that we can inform this broader working group. Because otherwise, this group is going to have to tell somebody to go right out and do it anyway.
Right.
And so we decided that we'd step up, and we vetted this with the chancellor, and she's approved that we move ahead. And so I know from our side, Elaine has identified a couple of folks on his side that are going to be around that table, and Sue and a couple of other folks from our side of the table will be doing this for both the academic and the administrative side of the house. So there's
because
the time frame
is really challenging. Because we're talking about 15 months. Because it's starting with the 2014
yes
academic year. So.
And I can tell you, we're going to have to work very, very hard and very long in order to get this done. There's a lot to be done in the next 12 to 13 months in order for this to be at a point where the trustees can understand all the bits and pieces, how it's going to work collectively. There has to be an understanding about governance structure. Every element that makes up a university has to be looked at in the context of this new entity. And some decision has to be made about what services will be purchased from, for lack of a better term. Well, let me put it this way. What services we will continue to provide Nano students, their faculty, staff, that we're currently providing, and which ones they may want to do on their own. My initial conversation with Elaine, he doesn't seem to be very interested in replicating a lot of the things that we're currently providing because wouldn't make a lot of sense to do so, and it would be very costly to do so. So we just have to work out an MOU that would compensate us appropriately for continuing to provide those services and have some meeting of the minds about what that is and what the appropriate cost would be or price would be.
I was just thinking just what you said, Michael, about what you both emphasized. There's just so many little details. Security issues, for example. Maintenance issues, for example. When students are paying tuition, how do you split that depending on where they're going to go? All those details, I think, are critical. Recruiting and step by step by step. So I see that as a huge a huge undertaking to be able to pull it off, and of course to have it and put it off accordingly. The other thing is that the president was talking about talking to the state education department and the region and so forth. We have here a beautiful tie-in because if we're talking about kids who are K-12, we're talking about preparing them for being college and career ready. So if they're college and career ready and they want to do engineering, they want to do this research, whatever, and so forth, that's a nice tie-in because they've got to go someplace, and we definitely would want to see many of them go to some high-powered facility that would be either local or certainly in New York State, as opposed to going someplace else. So I think in that case, we can make a good case to move that forward. But again, it's getting out front, having your ducks lined up, and to move forward. The other thing is, it's always come down to money. What returns we're going to get. The money that was put to Nano in past years, will that money stay here? Will it be available, et cetera? Donors, for example, and you know how donors are. Donors want to go with a winner, and they want to go with something that they can identify as being successful. So a plan has to be put forward to move that agenda. But I definitely think that it can be done. We've done other things in the past, but it means getting out front. Which also means that it's going to be very difficult for the council, if with four meetings a year, not that we want to have a lot more meetings, but to be able to communicate and stay on task, there are going to be some adjustments of how we communicate. And it doesn't mean you always have to travel. If we went down to SUNY Central, we can do the video, and people who are in New York can do theirs, and we can see each other. To me, it's very important that I see people who are talking I function a lot better that way. I'm not very good at the new technology. Body English and movement makes a big difference to me.
Other questions, comments, and thoughts before we vote on the motion? Seeing none, let's move the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Opposed, say no. So that's carried unanimously. Other comments, thoughts?
Well, one thing I want
to say. This is Pierre. I'd like to, first of all, I guess it's probably more on the role of the council. We have always encouraged council participation, engagement, et cetera. I was very pleased, the chairman, that you served on the special working group. I would recommend as a side that the video of yesterday's the Board of Trustees meeting is available online, and that's worth taking a look at. There were a number of concerns that I think were addressed by Dr. Jones. I think it's positive that the continued relationship is good for a while. I know that there's the talk of forming the working group. I guess I would echo some of the comments that Dr. Jackson made, is that this is clearly under Section 365 of the education law in the participation and recommendations, the powers and the duties of the university council. And going forward, we may have other opportunities for other resolutions, and I think it would be helpful for the council to be as engaged and involved as possible, because I think if some of us recall back in 2010, there was a resolution from Stony Brook on powers that regarding student housing that had to be brought to the council in order to go to the Board of Trustees. So we clearly have a role, and I would encourage us to perhaps consider this as a permanent agenda item going forward, and that the working groups that will be set up as offered in yesterday's Board of Trustees meeting include, if not include, council, at least include a mechanism of communicating back to the council so we're aware, so when we have another opportunity to rely on a resolution, that we have time and information regarding that. And that would be my thoughts on that and the recommendation that I would make.
Well, and to you and to certainly the entire council, you have my commitment to do that. I can tell you that I felt very uncomfortable during this process. I'm not sure under which capacity I was serving on that group. Sometimes I was introduced as the business representative. a business representative and friend of the university. Sometimes I was introduced as a foundation board member. Sometimes it was a council chair. I'm unclear as to what capacity I was serving on that that group. But in each of those capacities, when asked the question, we were serving in a confidential manner, which put me in a somewhat of a compromised position in that I couldn't come back to the council until yesterday and be able to hold this meeting. So today was literally the first point at which I could actually act as the council president and bring something back to this group. And it's really unfortunate that someone chose to break the confidentiality of the boardroom and leak the entire document to the media before that was supposed to happen. But believe me, if I could have, I would have brought all of this to you much earlier than I did, but I was unable to do that. I believe in full and transparent discussion and disclosure. So to whatever extent I am involved, this group will be involved, because I think that's the way that that you keep people engaged, and that's the way that we get a better result. So I too think that we have a role, a very important role in all of this.
Thank you.
My other question, I guess, to me, what's critically important is brand. You know, again, what are we doing about promotion and brand as we roll this out? You know, so are we going to be passive and let the story tell itself? How are we going to do this? Is there going to be, and please don't swing at me, I'm on your right side, but is there going to be a picture of you and Dr. Calieros out in front of the university? Is it, what are we going to do to make this thing positive and keep it positive? Has there been any thought to that early on? Because I'm very concerned about having local media, unnamed local media, write this story, because we know what direction that's going to go. So how do we, and unfortunately this needs to be done now, it needs to be done today, it's really current.
That's a good question.
The biggest problem with this that I have seen so far, this is coming from like the student population, is this has been talked about in schools already. It's been talked about within my community or the people that I've come across, and it's already been put in a negative light. So it's been put at, not like, you know, Nanoscale is taking the next step or the university is taking the next step to, you know, provide better. It's been putting as Nanoscale is trying to take over.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing that I've seen, and it's the biggest thing that I've discussed with, you know, people that I've come in contact with. And I think that's a problem that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed fast, because if the media takes on that light, it puts us as a university at a lower rank,
right,
because it's becoming that a part of our school is trying to take over the rest of our school. You know, because the things I've been hearing are pretty crazy. You know, I've been hearing Nanoscale's trying to take over. Albany is no longer going to be a SUNY. It's going to be a private school now. You know, that everything that has been put into us has, you know, is completely changing. And, you know, from what I hear today, obviously, that's not the way
right.
It is. But the thing is, if I'm the one that's hearing it like this, I'm sure there's plenty of other people who are going to be hearing it like this. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, especially media at this point will take that and try to use it against us, because, you know, media is out for themselves.
You make an excellent point, and something that I hadn't even considered. We have the student population who's here now today who are probably the most affected, you know, and you are reading this and hearing it and probably wondering what's happening. So again, it's all the same question. What is our plan? What, and this is happening so fast, but we have all of our stakeholders that we need to communicate with now with a message, and it needs to be a positive message. And so I guess I'd leave throw that out to you folks to say what are we going to do to try to undo the damage that's already been done and to make this thing positive.
You know, just like I said, things are happening very quickly. On Friday, our office got the phone call that the report was leaked.
Yeah.
And over the weekend, we were rushing to write the letter, you know, the letter to the editor. and so deal with the immediate. And this morning, Robert and I met and started formulating some plans and started talking to the local media. So, I mean, it's a work in process. And, you know, we are today, I mean, we're going to be, you know, working very diligently to create, work strategically. There's still information that we're trying to, you know, sort of piece together. But absolutely, I couldn't agree more that we need a very aggressive strategy as we move forward.
And to add to what Kathy is saying, and that was one of the reasons we, Elaine and I, worked collectively with SUNY Central to draft this op-ed piece that came out this morning, because we thought it was very important that as soon as possible after the trustees voted that there be a very clear indication of our desire to move forward together. Maybe we should have taken a picture with him standing in the middle of Fuller Road with him on the west side and me on the east side and shaking hands or something. A picture's worth a thousand words. But I can tell you that, as I said, we have been having meetings. The two of us have been meeting. We've met twice with Tim Killeen. And we are working on a very, very aggressive collaborative research agenda that's going to provide an opportunity for these two entities to work in a very collaborative fashion. And now garner, I think, external resources that heretofore neither entity have been very aggressive at bringing in. You hear a lot about the $225 million Nano brings in, but if you look at how much comes from NSF, NIH, and places like that, it's probably $17 million at best. If you look at our portfolio, about half of our 200-plus sponsored dollars that we bring in comes in from those kinds of sources. We have a collective and an individual interest in driving that number up. We know that the best path forward is for us to do that kind of work together. And Tim Killeen has been an amazing broker and advocate for both of us working collectively across our faculty to identify the critical mass of faculty we have in some of these key areas, the neurosciences, brain imaging, big data, bioengineering, are some of the areas where we've identified as the two to three areas where we will amass. So we've got to tell that story by our actions. Part of the story is, yes, you know, articles, writing, and that kind of thing, but part of this is going to be judged by what we do, not necessarily by just what we say. And then the public will have an opportunity to judge whether or not this has been beneficial. And my goal is to try to make it a win-win situation and deliver this opportunity, but we do have to think about a communication strategy. Because I can tell you, I've done one interview this morning. That was one of the reasons we were a little late getting in here. And that was a very deliberate attempt. I was interviewing with two reporters at the same time. Both are writing separate stories. And, of course, each one tried to go to the negative. Well, you're going to be collaborating in the future. Why hasn't the university done it in the past? You know, and I decided I wasn't going to go there. I took advantage of me being new and say I wasn't here. I don't know anything about that. All I'm focusing on is where we will go together. Those will be positive both for Nano and definitely positive for the University of Albany. But that negativity is out there, and as Michael said earlier, and I think Jim, all of us agree, it's not going to do any of us any good to focus on the negative aspects of this. There are a number of very pertinent questions that have to be posed, and a lot of that came out in the testimony at the board meeting yesterday. There were three or four people that asked some really pointed, very important, fundamental questions that the trustees will have to work through, and I think this working group will definitely have to get some answers to if they're going to be able to make a recommendation at the end of this that makes sense and that people can support. So,
Michael, the other thing too I would consider here is that we live, unfortunately, in a McDonaldized society. We don't want to get out of our car. We want to do everything in a hurry. I think it's sometimes prudent to step back sometime and think it through and try and get it right. Because if you do it fast and it's screwed up, and it beats what we really want to do. So even though speed is important, I would think through that. The other thing too is that, you know, when you take on a task this large, that it's not going to be as difficult. And we reminded from history that you have to keep in mind that the most difficult thing to manage, most doubtful of success, most dangerous to handle, is to take the lead in the introduction of a new order of things. Because those who benefited from the old order, you know, they're not happy to work with the change. And
right.
Those who would benefit from the new order are not quite sure this thing is going to work. And I think sometimes it's prudent to think it through and take a little bit of time. The last thing is that, is there a protocol? For example, let's say we're hiring a new president or something. We have a committee, and then it comes to the council, then it goes to the chancellor, then it goes to the trustees. Is there any kind of order of how this would be done?
I'm smiling because that was a question that I kept asking through the whole process. What's the sequence of events?
Yeah.
Because in this particular case, it seemed to go backwards. It seemed to roll down as opposed to rolling up.
Yep.
And there really was no good answer, unfortunately, to that question. I believe that we're back going clockwise again, and I think it's going to be it is now back with the schools to come up with a memorandum of understanding.
Right.
So I think that's where it's back to, which is where it should have started to begin with. I think that's the story. Okay. If there's nothing else, go ahead.
I think that when controlling the dialogue that's going to take place as to how this affects the university, we've hit on two key elements, which is one is the relative suddenness of these things, which have been alluded to a little over time, but most people aren't aware that there have been ongoing discussions about this for a long time, so they think that this is a sudden shock to the university that the university has no preparation for. And I think that the most important thing to controlling the negative dialogue and being able to put that in perspective is to say that we have been having discussions. We were aware of this, and not only that, but we did make plans for the future, and that there is positive that's going to come out of it. And if we have, for instance, any concrete plans on to exactly what programs we aim to introduce or what the university intends to do to expand its research portfolio and be able to point to, we'll be able to focus on these things. We can definitely put more positives on it.
Yeah, I think, again, quickly, if you look at both our resolution and the resolution that went to the board, you'll see that there is there were resolutions that were approved by the SUNY board going back a couple of years with a transition that started quite a while ago. So this was not something that just happened this past weekend. Okay, if there's nothing else, what I would recommend is that, or at least for you guys to consider, is that this body did unanimously approve this resolution, which may be press release worthy. And it may make sense to create some talking points so that we are all speaking from the same script if a call or calls come in. So just, again, something to consider, because I think controlling the message is going to be important.
And I think, if I could, with some specifics, I really think it's important. I've heard from some alums, from their perspective, the pluses for nano are obvious. The pluses of university are not so obvious. And all we've heard so far are kind of nebulous statements about, oh, this is a good opportunity, but why? And I think it would really help dampen the negativity if you could point out specific things that, well, what I've said to people is, in many ways, nano is not an educational function. It's a manufacturing facility that does some educating. I mean, it's not very much different than the relationship of the National Laboratory on Long Island to Stony Brook. Those people over there, they do work, and the students go over there and learn something, and that's part of their education, and that's kind of what it's been here. But, you get that 8,000-pound gorilla off your back, and lots of opportunities open up in an institution like this. And I think if we can address some of those and provide those specifics, then the alums and others out there will say, oh, okay, so it is a positive. It is something we can relate to. Get the university back on track.
The catch 22 for, excuse me, Mike.
No, go
the catch 22 for us, of course, is to not make the error of trying to be too specific before we have more information about really what the needs are. I mean, I'm very comfortable being very clear about moving into some of those critical professional technology-based programs that heretofore we have not been allowed to play in that space. And just the general notion of getting people to understand that we will now be playing in that space, I certainly hope will be a powerful enough vision that they will give us an opportunity to develop the specific detail. Because that's been hands-off territory in this place for much too long. And I think as much as we can articulate that our desire is, and that's why the Board of Trustees resolution, if you remember, specifically mentions supporting the University at Albany to advance in some of the cutting contemporary areas that is necessary to advance the university. That was very, very important for that statement to be there, because otherwise it would have really all been about nano, with no perspective that the board has thought about or is going to be willing to support the university moving in a direction that clearly it needs to move in. And I want to just say one other thing, because it's fundamentally true, and the chancellor will tell you this. I'm not saying anything today, the day after the board voted for nano to separate, that I didn't say to her in my conversations about taking this job. These are the areas that I've known fundamentally this university needed to move in with or without nano. So really, this is just an opportunity to talk about it, perhaps earlier than we would have otherwise. But it's the direction that I saw and the excitement that I saw and the potential of where this university needed to go. And I came here with the assumption that nano was going to be part of that mix and would help leverage that expansion as a collegiate unit of this university. Now, you know, the tide has shifted. The tide has shifted. We have to think about still the broader vision, but how do you engage nano and that vision in a way that makes sense and that will be value added at the same time allow it to continue its unique mission in the state? So that's the only thing that's really shifted.
I feel like that, from listening to what you said, you know, I think that the way that Albany should kind of present this to like the public and to the students and to everyone who's involved is showing that we are still in control of the situation rather than the situation is taking control of us. Because at the end of the day, UAlbany is still like a brand, it's still like a market. And our basic needs are the fact that we don't lose our market, we don't lose like, you know, the market value that we have gained, the rank that we are held to, you know, in other places. I know whenever I tell someone I go to UAlbany, they see that as almost as a prestigious, you know, as an Ivy League. Like, we have that level. And if we present the situation and we have allowed the College of Nanoscience to expand its horizons, to separate from us in order to pursue its vision, rather than saying it has left us to pursue its vision. Because if we put the situation in, it has left us, then it looks like we weren't able to give it everything that it needed. If we put it as we have allowed them to leave, it shows that we have, you know, contributed to the fact of their future success. And I feel like that's the kind of statement or the kind of, you know, press release that we should do, which showing that, you know, UAlbany is still the market and is still the, you know, controller, still the power, but we, with our knowledge and with our, you know, resources, have allowed that part of our college to move on to like bigger and better things in a way.
Excellent. Good point. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. If there's nothing else, a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion? Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. So we're going to work with Kathy on a press release.
It's a statement.
A statement, or whatever it's called, whatever you want, whatever you want. We need to send out something that gets out there the action that was taken here today.
Oh, I agree. I think we should do a press release. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going
to do. Absolutely.
They're saying press release.
Don't you think?
I want to make sure we got to be on the same page here.
Yeah.
I don't want us to walk out of this room and something.
I think what we'll do is we'll develop the statement and get approval and then issue it as a statement, you know, as a statement. You know, a statement from the
university. Copy the resolution, right?
To the media.
We're saying the same.
Copy the resolution.
Right.
So that everyone sees what it's called.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Quickly.